This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the beautiful book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1, where we left off last time. Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on April 1st at 1 p.m. This will be a Sunday. This is the day that all Christendom dedicates and celebrates the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Remember, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Scott and I are preparing, with the Lord's help, a unique and beautiful and majestic inspirational program for you, and it's entitled The Cross, The Blood, The Heart. That's April 1st, 5 p.m. right here at my school. The Cross, The Blood, The Heart. And come every Sunday, 5 p.m., for the Word and Prayer. Come on Wednesday, 6 p.m., for the Word and Warrior Prayer. And stop by on Thursdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. for prayer by Scott and me. We pray for those who are sick or having problems with demons or whatever ails you. And now, the beautiful book of Ruth. The title of this book of Ruth is Nearest Kinsman Redeemer. In the natural, only your nearest kinsman can go and redeem your body from the morgue, should you be in there, okay? In the spiritual, God has the same thing. Only your nearest kinsman redeemer can redeem your soul, which was in the morgue of sin and death before you got saved. And that would be, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your kinsman redeemer. I want you to understand that a father cannot redeem the sins of his son, and the son cannot redeem the sons of a father. In other words, everybody must come to the cross, because the nearest kinsman is always the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew all of you before you were in your mother's womb. Now, we may pray for those, and certainly we do, but he's the only one that is the redeemer. Now, last week, we found that beautiful Ruth, having come back from Moab with her mother-in-law, Naomi, wanting to provide bread, went into the fields of barley and gleaned grain all day long, from early morning until evening. And she met the owner of the field. His name was Boaz. He was a wealthy, godly man. And he was Naomi's nearest kinsman redeemer. Well, fancy that. So Naomi got home and she said, look, he was so good to me, and I've got a whole bushel of grain for us. And so Naomi said, now what's the man's name? Ruth said, Boaz. Lights went on with Naomi. Boaz, that's the nearest kinsman redeemer. This means there could be a wedding in the making. You will understand that nearest kinsman redeemer, as we're going to find from the Bible, means that you can get married. So that's where we left off. And so we pick it up with chapter 3, verse 1.
Chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?
So Naomi says, my daughter, you know, I'm going to be getting older and I won't be around forever. I want you to be comfortable. I want you to have a home. I don't want you to have to work in the hot fields from morning to evening just to get a loaf of bread. I want you to have a husband. So this is why I'm about to do what I'm about to do, Ruth, says Naomi.
It is not Boaz, our kinsman. Did he know us thou was?
Did he know? Do you think Boaz knew you were the nearest kinsman redeemer? He is. Now see, this is a God law. This is not a woman conniving to get a husband. This is God's law. And we're going to go to that law in a few minutes.
Behold, he winneth barley tonight at the threshing floor.
Naomi knew the custom. He said, tonight is a festive night. After getting all of this grain, you know, there'd been a famine there. He's got all of this wonderful, prosperous crop. So down at the threshing floor where they winnow that grain out, they're going to have a feast. They eat, and they have a couple of glasses of wine. And the owner, Boaz, will spend the night there to guard that. So this is what she's preparing her for. Now, just before we continue there, you want to know what the nearest kinsman redeemer is. Did you know it's in the Bible? Now, if you can turn there fast, if not, make a note and just listen. There's just a few verses. Write down there, Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5.
And now the law of the kinsman redeemer, Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. If brethren draw together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not go without to a stranger.
Okay, so a man and woman get married, the husband dies, they do not have a child. The woman is not then to go outside of the family, outside of that seed. God said, do not mix the seed. God loves all the seed. Genesis 1, it is very good. But he said, do not mix the seed. God wanted to have one pure seed line that started with Abraham so that he, God himself, the Son, could come through that pure lineage. So he said, now she's not supposed to look for the husband outside her own. We're never to be unequally yoked.
Her husband's brother shall go unto her.
Okay, the next brother in line should go and be her husband.
And take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her.
See, this is God's way of prolonging the seed line. God loves all of his children, but he's got everybody well organized. In other words, he knows exactly what your seed line is, and he's going to straighten it all out in the millennium. So that's what he says to do, keep the seed line pure. Please remember that. America has broken that terribly. This is not any kind of prejudice. God says it's very good all, but just keep it pure.
Verse 6, and it shall be that the firstborn she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead.
Okay, God's law says then when this couple has a baby, the baby will be named after the dead brother's name to keep the name going and to keep the seed line going. It must have hurt our father very much to white out so many names out of the Lamb's Book of Life in the first earth age when everybody rebelled except the futile handful of elect, and he had to take them out, and then he wants to put your name back in.
And his name be not put out of Israel.
So every name is important. God knows he calls us all by name.
7. But if the man like not to take his brother's wife.
But if the man say, I'm not going to marry her. No way.
Then let his brother's wife go up to the gate.
The gate would be the judgment where they held their court to carry out grievances like a little daily court up there.
And say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a man of Israel.
See, he's not obeying the law. God says to do that, so this man is breaking God's law.
He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Verse 8, then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him, and if he stand to it, say, I like not to take her.
Okay, the leaders there, they call the elders, they will talk to the man. Who should be the next one in line, the nearest kinsman. And they'll say, listen, it's God's word. He tells you to do this. And God's more interested in the pure seed line. He wants every child to come through like you're supposed to come through, not mess it all up, so he can get the salvation thing done, and then we can all go back and be the one pure seed line. He's more interested in that and let you live with somebody who gives you a sizzle. Okay? And so, but he says, if the man stands to it, stick into it. And he says, I am not marrying that woman.
Fine. Then shall his brother's wife come unto him.
Now here's
the presence of the elders, and loose his shoe off his foot, and spit in his face, and shall say, so shall it be to that man who will not bring up his brother's house.
I guess you got that. Spit on you. Spit was the worst thing they could do, in loose his shoe. That kind of means like you don't have a shoe to stand, a leg to stand on there. So is soul, okay?
10. And the man should be called of Israel, the house of him that hath his shoe loosed.
It's not too bad a punishment, though, when you think about it. What that did, loosed his shoe. That loosed him from the obligation of marrying. Now that opens a door for another redeemer, understand? See how this is applying to Ruth and Boaz?
Verse 3, wash thyself therefore.
Now Naomi said, all right, now Boaz is going to be in the threshing floor. He's a nearest kin redeemer. You're all dirty there. You've been in the field all day. Go take a nice bath. Get yourself cleaned up. Wash.
And anoint thee.
Put a little perfume, little flower seed smell on you there.
And put thy Pundi.
Put something pretty. Okay. Now, when the kinsman redeemer Jesus came and paid our sin debt, it was finished as far as he's concerned. Each one of you and all of us, now to marry him, have to do something beforehand. Now, you're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. But before you could marry him or be the marriage supper of the Lamb, you have to wash. In other words, you're filthy with the sins of the world. Zechariah says they're like filthy rags. So you wash yourself with water by the word of God. And you realize that the word says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And so you realize you sin. In the washing then, you confess your sins to the Lord. I have sinned. This sin, this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin. Name them, name them, name them, name them, name them. And then you repent. That means you stop it, quit it, that's it. Now, that together, you are washed. Automatically, then the fountain of blood from Jesus pours down on you and you are washed clean. And the anointing comes when you get saved. The Holy Spirit, who is the anointing, comes upon you. Not in big degrees to some of you, but at least not temporarily, always he's with you, but maybe not in volumes. So, but yet, even though you're washed, even though you're anointed, now you put on the robe of righteousness, you take off the old dirty clothes, and now he calls you, you actually put on a veil. The veil means that you have your head covered with Christ, but you are still not ready to marry him. Some of you got that far. You washed, you anointed, you put on your clothes, but you've never married him because you've been sitting there waiting on him to come and give you a thrill. You were supposed to go, knock, 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 marry me, knock, 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 marry me, I want to be with you, I want you, I want you, I want you. Okay? Now, keep that in mind. This will explain what's about to
happen. Get down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking.
Don't let him know you're there in all of your beauty, Ruth, until he's had a nice meal and had a couple of glasses of wine, had his little hot toddy there at night. And usually the owner would stay there and kind of sleep there near the heap there so he could guard it. So just wait until he's had a nice party. They're all very happy. There was a famine there. And so it's just a wonderful blessing from God.
Verse 4, and it shall be when he lieth down, and thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie.
Watch where he is.
And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet.
Okay, you sneak in there with all that wine, all day long bringing in the grain. He's going to be hard and fast asleep on his pillow. On his pillow, he'll be asleep. So uncover his feet. What does that mean? In Bible times, men wore skirt. And the way the marriage ceremony was done, if the man takes his skirt and wraps it around the woman, that is the marriage. You are now wed. So you see, here is Ruth, by Bible rights, she's going to the nearest kinsman redeemer, but there's a monkey wrench here. There's somebody else nearer. And Ruth does not know it. Naomi has forgotten it, but she will remember. But Boaz knows it. Uh-oh. Darn. Okay? So what she's going to be doing then is saying, marry me. When's the last time you got up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock and you were worried so much about yourself and getting up the next morning and you just went and knocked and said, uncover your feet. I've got to have you. I've got to have you, Jesus. I've got to have more of you. Show yourself to me. I've got to have you more. I've got to have your heart. Are you still just sitting there waiting? You're never going to get married. Marriage is passionate.
And lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do.
Once he realizes you're there, Ruth, he saw you yesterday. I mean, the sparks were flying. He'll take it from there.
5, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Verse 6, and she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that a mother-in-law had bade her.
Beautiful girl. She was so yielding. She could take direction without taking a little side trick and doing some of it her way. You know, when the Holy Spirit speaks through a man or woman to tell you something to do, why don't you just go ahead and do it? If you don't, you're going to have to do it sooner or later.
7, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart heart was merry.
Very happy. It was a prosperous day, a happy day. The famine's not in the land anymore.
He went to lie down at the end of the length of corn, heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet.
But he was hard and fast asleep and did not know it.
And laid her down. Verse 8. And it came to pass at midnight.
Midnight, the midnight hour. Jesus said in Matthew 24, Matthew 25, there were 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. The wise ones have oil in their lamp, truth the word. They know when the trumpet blows, but the foolish do not know. They have no oil in their lamp. The midnight hour. Something's about to strike.
The man turned himself and behold, a woman lay at his feet.
Papa Bear, who's this woman in my bed?
And he said, who is that? Who art thou? I am Ruth, thine handmaiden.
Can you imagine how Boaz felt? He had seen her the other day. He knew they were the kinsmen. He was a kinsman redeemer. He also knows something else, that there's one nearer. But can you imagine how he felt that there she was saying, I love you and I want you to marry me.
Spread therefore thy skirt over my hand, for thou art my nearest kinsman.
See, she knew Deuteronomy 25:5.
Next verse, verse 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter.
God has certainly sent you here, Ruth.
For thou hast shown more kindness at the latter end than at the beginning.
I thought you were so kind to me yesterday, taking all that time to talk with me and have lunch with me. But look at this, you've come in here and you want to be my bride.
For as much as thou...
Can you imagine what Jesus would feel like if you'd get out of your hole and go in there and be his bride, totally at his side, 24 hours a day, madly, passionately, taking in everything he does and thinks, and just absolutely refusing to leave, just overwhelmingly, passionately firing, fire with fire in you to serve him. You imagine how he would feel.
Follow us not, young men, neither poor nor rich.
You didn't go after those young workers out there because I know you're witty. You could have charmed them, but look at this. You came to me. In other words, Ruth was fulfilling her destiny. Ruth becomes a true elect Christian now. See, I'm sorry to tell you, you think life's about getting married, having babies, having a job and a car and a dog. It is not. Each one of you is sent from God with a spiritual purpose. You either betrayed God then and you come to get saved, and then once you get saved, you get somebody else saved, or you did not betray him and you come to get the word of God out. That's it. The rest of it, of course, we have the marriage because we have to prolong the seed. But you've got it all wrong, and that's why you're always so troubled. You notice you got your wrong perspective, what's important to you, so it's always in trouble. Get your perspective right and the rest will fall into place. Your perspective is God, and your purpose and your duty is God.
Amen. Verse 11, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest.
Now, she probably was beginning to be a little humiliated. He's not doing anything. He's still standing there. And he said, don't you be afraid. I'll do what you say. I can imagine they're making eye contact here. You've got to see those eyes. They've got to be connecting by now.
For all the city of my people know that thou art a virtuous woman.
I know what a beautiful, virtuous woman you are. In other words, Jesus is coming back for a virtuous bride. If you've married the Antichrist in the bed with him, you could not marry him. Wait for the true Christ.
12, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I.
Uh-oh, Boaz knew that. Now, when Jesus decided to come over 2,000 years ago and become our nearest kinsman redeemer by dying on a cross and shedding his blood for the remission of our sins, he had a little bit of a monkey wrench in his plan, because there had already been a fake kinsman redeemer from the first earth age, Lucifer, who said, I will be God, who had stolen all of the wives and the children and God's people and caused them to marry him. Because see, everybody who followed him married him, shall we say, spiritually speaking. So Jesus said, I've got to deal with this other redeemer. I've got to do something about it. The way Jesus dealt with it, he said, I've got to get him out of the way. So Jesus defeated death on the cross, Hebrews 2:14. He came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. So he got him out of the way. Now soon and very soon, the Antichrist is going to come. He will pretend to be the Redeemer. And the Christians of sea will call him Jesus. The rest of the world will call him Savior. In other words, they're going to go to the wrong kinsman Redeemer again. The real Jesus will come then, and he's got to do something about this fake one. He's going to pick him up and put him in the pit for 1,000 years. So Boaz's got a problem here. Let's see if he solves it.
13. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if you will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee.
So it gets a little bit closer to Ruth, and he says, okay, just as soon as the morning comes, I'm going to go to the gate, and I'm going to go and tell him the story, and I'm going to give him a way out. Boaz knew how to wheel and deal. I'm going to just put the pressure on there, and I'm going to say, now, you know, you could forfeit that right, and if he forfeits that right to redeem, there was a piece of land involved here. I won't go into that. Naomi had some land, so all of that's involved. In other words, if he says he does not want to marry you and redeem you and the land, I will certainly do it, Ruth. I certainly will. Yes, I will.
As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning.
That must have been uncomfortable for both of them.
And the next verse is verse 14. And she laid his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came unto this floor.
To protect her reputation, because she did not do anything wrong. It was right to go and ask the nearest kindred demon to marry you. And she certainly was nothing promiscuous. He told all of his workers, don't tell anybody, even though she's done nothing wrong. You know about gossip mongers.
15. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee.
You notice that she put on a veil to go to the kinsman redeemer. Paul tells us in Corinthians, women, have your head covered. He does not mean with hair, and he does not mean a hat, but he means with a veil, the wedding veil of Christ. It's invisible. Be covered with Christ. Put on Christ. Have your head covered with Christ. That veil, that word of God, that spirit of God be upon you. And that's the only way. In other words, if you're going to marry Christ, the anointed one, you've got to have the anointing to be equally yoked to him. That's why she had to anoint herself there. But the veil means you put on Christ.
And hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley.
He made a little pocket book out of it. That's right. Here, let's put some barley in here for you. Interesting. The fake kinsman redeemer, Antichrist, is going to offer to buy you all the food you want, pay your mortgage, have anything you want. All you have to do is call him Jesus, Christians, or the rest of the world Messiah. That's it. And otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. But what we're being shown here is a true redeemer, our kinsman redeemer Jesus, knows how to take care of his children even when the Antichrist is here. He'll still get a spread.
And laid it on her.
He laid it on her.
16. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter?
What, Naomi? There goes Naomi. She's saying up all night long, Lord have mercy, Ruth, who are you? What she means is, are you single? Or are you married? See, had he put that around her, she'd be Mrs. Boaz. So she's going to explain that I'm still Ruth, and that's why Naomi's going to say, welcome, my daughter.
And she said, welcome, my daughter. And she told her all the man had done unto her. Verse 17. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said unto me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Verse 18.
That's good news to Naomi, too, because the kinsman redeemer, of course, not only would buy the land, would marry the widow and bring up seed to keep the seed line going, but would have the relatives.
Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be at rest until he has finished this thing today.
In other words, he's taken by you, and he wants to marry you as much as you want to marry him. He's not going to be still until this thing is finished. When Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, he's been sitting patiently on the throne, watching and waiting. But do you realize that way back then, ever since even Genesis 3:15, God told the serpent, your seed shall bruise his head. In other words, bruise the Savior's head. God has been preparing and energetically working toward this marriage, this marriage. This is the what God wants. And it's gone on through generation. All of this in the Bible, from generation on through, everything. All we see in Leviticus, all we see in Psalms, all we see in the prophets, and right on down to hear Revelation. We're waiting for a wedding. We're waiting for a wedding. God cannot sit still until it is consummated. And when the sixth trumpet sounds, the Antichrist is coming. And then the seventh trumpet sounds, and Jesus is coming. And at last, the marriage will be consummated. Amen. Are you married?
Yes.
Are you married to Jesus? It's not a word you say. It's a life you live. God bless you.
Amen.
We'll start right there next time. Well, it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And I want to introduce you the owner of the produce place, Good Food, in Suntree, Florida, the produce place, man of God, Scott Merson, my twin friend. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. It was a great word tonight.
Thank you.
Just good stuff.
Beautiful story.
It is a beautiful story. I have a first question tonight. In Hosea 5, God says he will come as a moth. Can you please explain?
Yes, Hosea 5 said God's going to come as a moth. He was talking to us about how the Holy Spirit nudges you. And so, Christians, you need to know this. The Holy Spirit starts out by such a simple nuance of a nudge that it's hardly noticeable. Like if you were sitting at your desk and there was a little moth just flew by, you just brush it off. I mean, you don't get to say, hey, moth, a moth, oh, there's a moth. You don't get upset about it so much, you don't push. So he says, I come in a still small voice. But see, that's where most of you miss it. You think God's going to stop you in track and take you up to heaven and back and show you something big. He does do those things, believe you me. But the Holy Spirit speaks, and you have to be alert. It'll twist. Right where he lives in you, there's a place there, your solar plexus. He'll twist just a second there. You begin as you practice it, you actually feel it, and you stop right then and listen. But God says in Hosea 5, if you don't, I'll come to you like an eagle. I'll rip into you. And if that doesn't do it, I'll come to you like a lion. In other words, I'm going to get your attention. Why don't you make it easy like a little moth there?
I know. Okay, our next question. When Jesus revealed himself to Mary at the tomb, he told her, don't touch me. Why is that?
Don't touch me is what he said to Mary. That is an Hebraism. We might say like a figure of speech, an Hebraism. It means don't hold me up. At that point, Jesus needed to go to the mercy seat and seal that contract with his blood there on the mercy seat with the Father. And he said, I'll be right back. So don't hold me up on that one little bit of finished business there to put the blood on the mercy seat. So you and I say, I've sinned, forgive us. We got the blood to cover us.
Yeah, job to do. That's right.
Well, David, you know, David left his stuff in the cart.
He did.
Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag.
Yeah.
How about Scott's stuff?
Pray for the restoration and the compensation of sevenfold righteous judgment to be rendered upon the enemy. Decree and declare that the Lord's promises become full manifest within your bloodline, bringing forth all that he has stolen, that has been stolen by the thief. That he be ordered to pay sevenfold back into your inheritance of the gifts stolen, the wellness, the spiritual sight, spiritual powers, the joy, the wealth, the treasures, your very destiny within you from Jesus Christ.
That is so Amen. Beautiful. See, that's great, Scott. And God wanting us so much to respect our heritage because there is gifting that comes down in that seed line of which each one of us has that seed line. There are giftings there. And we get it all mixed up when we fall off into
just
sin.
Just like we're learning things. Here in this book. Yep.
Mm.
Thank you, Sherry.
Well, thank you very much, Scott Merson. Let me pray for all of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will rise with healing in your wings. I ask that you will touch stomachs where stomachs are queasy and have a disorder. I ask that you would touch the stomach and will be brought back to order. And the stomach will be at ease, at peace, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray for gallbladders, that it will work properly. And I pray for livers, dear God, that everything will be healed. Cancer of liver be gone, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray for brains, dear God, clots on brains to be gone. I ask for deaf ears to hear, blind eyes to see. I ask that bones will grow back that are broken. They will be mended. Anything missing in the body, come alive and be in Jesus' name. I see, ears hear, feet walk. Hallelujah. Demons flee. In the name of Jesus. Be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He sent his word and healed you. He will send health and cure to you. He'll heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if you were one of those blessed ones, feel free to call and tell me and leave a message. My announcer will give you my telephone number in a few minutes. But let me pray for all of you who are not saved, because you want to get your little washing and your little anointing, put your garment on, and then get married to Jesus. Are you ready? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus.
Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus.
Anoint me with the Holy Spirit.
Anoint me with the Holy Spirit.
And put on me the robe of righteousness.
And put on me the robe of righteousness.
Use me to publish your word.
To publish your word.
And increase your kingdom.
And increase your kingdom.
And bless your heart.
And bless your heart.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you also prayed that, I would love to hear from you. Please tell me that. Don't forget April 1st, a Sunday, 5 p.m., to celebrate our Passover Lamb, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. A special, beautiful, inspirational service by Scott and by myself. And it's called The Cross, The Blood, The Heart. Come and you'll be blessed at the end of the service that we will have communion. God bless all of you. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. Now, you know, everything that you receive is to give away. Some of you have boring lives because you keep everything. You're just piling it up like in little paper plates with crumbs in it. It's supposed to be good. The most exciting thing is to get something really good and give it away.
Amen.
You say, but it's mine. Give it away. Got to give you something else. I dare you. And so you want to go and tell. You say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can try. I found anything, if you try, you'll get better. You just try and you try a little bit better. And everybody can reach somebody. You can do that. So God bless you. Now, until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you. God bless you and keep you. God make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord preserve you going out, you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord help you to be a super Christian, to win many souls to Jesus, to actually be what Jesus tells us all to be in the Bible. I pray that for you. We love you. And until next time, remember this. Go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I know. In the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Don't believe we've met, but I know who you are. Your story made the papers, most wanted ran your name, and the press called out for justice for all the misery and the pain. Yeah, you must have stunned the gates of heaven. He said it's easy to explain. It was the blood of Jesus, the blood of that opened heaven's door to let me in. It was the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that washed away the guilt, that washed away the guilt of all my sin. You know I can't help believing when we breathe our last, and we mercifully go free of earthly ties. And we wake up in that city and behold the family, who is there and who is missing. Well, we just might be surprised. It's just the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that opened heaven's door. Sin. There is truth in being saved by grace through faith. Yeah, I believe it when I'm called to give an answer on that day. I'll be sure that my debt is paid. I'm gonna fall on my knees and say, it runs the bread, I'm Jesus, the bread.
Jesus. listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Yeah. Hey, this is Darrell Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
I live in the wonder of your love. You rise like the sun in my heart, even when the night draws near.